Please be seated. We're going to depart slightly from our usual procedure of doing one code of ethics. And instead, one of our board members, Donna Gregory, the board vice president, will report on the role of the Board of Education. Mrs. Gregory?
The reason I thought that this would be a good idea is somebody from the community called me this past week and asked me some questions about the Board of Education. And in the past, we actually produced a brochure with the role of the Board of Education. And due to budget constraints, we stopped doing that. And then we would put it in the community newsletter. But I understand a lot of people may have missed it. So I'm just going to briefly give you a few little highlights. The Clinton Board of Education is made up of 9 members. We're elected by registered voters. The members are elected to 3-year terms every April at this point. The board president and vice president are elected by the members of the board. The board members voluntarily contribute their expertise and time to the district. They do not receive any payment or benefits for their service. We have specialists from several professional fields represented on our board, and we're lucky to have those different skills. Board members are required by law to attend New Jersey School Board Association training sessions. They do this on their own time. They recently went to a training conference for the state, and the board members do put in a fair amount of training time. Board members are required to be township residents, so they pay the same taxes that all of you pay. Most members of the current board have at least one child in the Clinton Township school system, so our decisions affect not only your kids, but our own as well. Board members have no legal authority except when acting as a group at official board meetings. This comes into play quite a bit when people reach us off days when we're not at board meetings. And we really have no authority to make any promises or give you any decisions when we're not acting as a unit. Any decisions that we have to make, that we make, are made by consensus of the board. Your board works hard to deliver the best education that it can within the financial constraints imposed on it by the voters of the state. The Board of Education's primary functions are to develop the district's goals and policies and provide oversight for achieving the goals while allowing the administration to plan, delegate, and implement the goals. The board is also responsible to communicate the goals and progress towards reaching those goals to the community and staff. We do this primarily by using the website, emails, board meetings like this, community meetings, the community newsletter, and the press. The Board of Education normally meets monthly. During the meetings, official board business is conducted. All deliberations of the board are done in public, except the discussions of confidential matters, such as those regarding district personnel. Confidential matters are discussed in executive session, which is closed to the public. There are only specific items that we can discuss behind closed doors, and those are closely regulated. There is time designated on the board meeting agenda for public comment. As you know, at that time, it's appropriate for the public to address the board. Public comments are limited just by necessity to enable all issues to be addressed. Matters raised during the public comment period are usually assigned to the appropriate committee to be addressed by the board at a future meeting. But every effort should be made to address issues related to a specific student or class with a teacher, principal, and the superintendent before being brought to the board. This Board of Education has 4 committees. These committees are responsible for driving the district's goals by developing specific objectives and tasks. The Clinton Board of Education's 4 committees are Facilities and Finance, Policy and Curriculum, Personnel, and Communication. These committees meet once a month as well, in addition to the regular board meetings. The chairs of the committees are as follows. The Facilities and Finance is chaired by Mark Kaplan, and the members of that committee are Grace Kofig, Kevin Sturgis, and to be decided today, Jean Shadle, to fill a position that was voted in. Policy and Curriculum is Jody Leving Chair, with Grace Kofig and Jean Shadle on that committee. And Personnel is Michelle Presti Chair, with Jim Dinhoff and myself on the committee. And Communication is chaired by me, with Michelle Presti and Jody Leving. So I hope that gives a little insight into what we do and what our role is and what things we cannot do at board.
Thank you, Donna. Do any board members have any questions for Donna or would like to make any statement at all about the role of the Board of Education or the role of individual members on the Board of Education? Grace?
Thanks, Jim. Maybe this is a good segue. As I'm sure some of you know, maybe not, we do have an opening on the board as Debbie Weiss stepped down. I think we have until people have until November 15th to give an indication of interest to our board secretary. I think as of now, we haven't received any names put into the hat. I would really like to encourage someone to step up and volunteer their time to do this. And I think, you know, I would certainly entertain any phone calls or any emails if people have questions in terms of the time commitment or what's actually involved. I think any of the board members would as well. You know, and I guess I'd like to maybe disabuse of a few notions. Something that I read came to my attention last week, talking about that, you know, possibly the board has a predetermined candidate or the superintendent's kind of pushing us in a certain direction to pick a certain member. I've been on the board two years. I've never seen anything like that. I've never heard any discussion like that. I think this board does an excellent job of entertaining a real good diversity of opinions in that. And in fact, I think we welcome it. We have a lot of issues that we deal with, and we don't all agree on a lot of issues, but we're really all comers are welcome. So please consider it. And but we also might want to mention that we've changed the process a little bit this year. You might notice on the agenda that the meeting's what, the 22nd? And previously we've done this in public. It was thought to do this as a closed session. Maybe we would entertain some feedback on that. But and I know there have been some questions on this as well, but the reason for that is that, you know, our meetings are a little bit bigger. Some people are a little nervous about getting up in front of a crowd and entertaining questions and speaking. We thought it might make it a little bit easier on the candidates to step forward, and it might be a little bit easier to have a discussion and have a little more information come out. So that's why we're doing that as executive session as opposed to open session.
Thank you, Grace. Anyone else? Any other board member have a question for Donna or any comments on the role of the Board of Education per se or the role of individual board members? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. Dinkoff. First, I have for you enrollment. Our current numbers show that we are actually down 46 students from last year. That's presented to you. Last year's number was 1,728. And we are now at 1,682. I apologize, I'm looking at June 1st. It's even more than that. October 1st of 2009 was 1,709. And we're at 1,682. Under suspension, we have four suspensions to report at the middle school during last month. Then on to my report. Last week, we took a week, as we do every year. Every district in New Jersey talks about violence and vandalism awareness. And as part of that, I am to report out to the public the electronic violence and vandalism report of last year, 2009-2010. We had two incidents to speak of. One happened in September, one happened in February. The one in September was a simple assault, one child hitting another child, which resulted in a suspension. And in February, it was a combination of a simple assault with a follow-up of harassment. So it was seen as one incident, but with two markers for violence and vandalism. And that was two students involved as the offenders, and one child being hit by one and harassed by both children, which resulted in two-day suspensions. And that is the electronic violence and vandalism report for 2009-2010. As of the November newsletter coming out, we will report out from each building what was done to really celebrate what we do here for our children in the way of character education, but also making them very aware of the choices they make each and every day. So that will come out from each building. At this time, I would like to introduce to you. Yes. Absolutely. I'm sorry, Jim.
Before we go on to the New Jersey Ask report, do any board members have any questions about the first three items, either enrollment, suspension, or the other report? Great.
Actually, I just on the suspensions.
The current suspension?
Yeah, the current ones. What's the difference between an out-of-district and an out-of-school suspension? Two of them received out of district and two of them received out of school.
I think it was reported incorrectly. We only have in school and out of school, not out of district.
Any other questions? Good point, Grace. Thanks for bringing that up. All right, can we move on then to the New Jersey Ask before you want to introduce?
Yes, I would like to. I'm sorry, Bob. After you're done. I'll make mention. Okay. At this time, I would like to bring up Bobby Philippe, our Director of Curriculum Instruction, who will discuss our student achievement and the student test scores from last year and how that will help us with programs moving into this year. Ms. Philippe.
And 86% in grades 6 to 8, And in that, it goes up to 84% in Lake George and 80% in grade 6 to 8.
Bobby, excuse me, I can't read. Can you back read those numbers?
That's why I'm saying them to you. This is just how many students, the percentage of students who need to score proficient or above in the different years. And my point being is when we have the testing this year, the percentage changes. It goes up for each of the grades because this was one of the years where the scale moves up. So where we needed about 70-something percent last year, we're going to need 80-something percent to pass to score proficient or better in order to meet annual yearly progress. Is that clear, Jim?
I understand what you're saying, but the numbers that are up here now are what's needed for to meet adequate yearly progress.
Yes.
Is there any reason why we're here? Am I the only one here?
No,
there's more, and we had to use the other projector because we couldn't. There's a, I guess, a play is rehearsing in here, and they have some stuff that blocks the overhead projector. So we couldn't use the overhead projector, which would have made it bigger on the screen. So we, worked out the best that we could. So if we look at language arts first. The first slide I'm going to show you is a year-to-year comparison. And if you follow the colors, it follows the same students from year to year. And unfortunately, this is going to be pretty small also. I know the board did receive this information ahead of time, but I don't really know how to make it any bigger right now. I can show you some of it later on. I have some graphs later on that will show this a little bit better for at least one year of classes. But what this shows is from 2007 through 2010, you can see the differences, and you can see when the state changed the test that there was a drop in the scores, but now it's on the way back up again. The one grade that is was in eighth grade last June, our past graduating class, I will show you a graph of that later just to give you an indication of how the scores have gone. The next chart we're going to look at is a comparison of the district factor, how Clinton Township did with compared to other District I factor groups. And in the column all the way to the left, you really want to see more red. Green shows that our numbers are higher than other schools in the district factor group. Red shows that our numbers are lower than other schools in the district factor group. So column on the left, the white is the district factor group scores, and the color is our scores. And I don't know, that doesn't even look clear, and the numbers are pretty small on that screen. But in many cases, our numbers were close to the district factor group. This is looking in language arts literacy in the younger grades, especially third and fourth. We had more kids in the partially proficient than our cohorts in the district factor groups. This is broken down into total students, general ed students, and special ed students. If you look at the proficient column, which is the second two, the second colored column in the white one to the right of it, you can see how in some cases we were better than the district factor group on the district factor group high schools, and some we were not as good, not as strong as they were. And the same thing in the advanced proficient. Here we want to see more green, particularly in sixth grade. Our students did better this year than other schools in the district factor group. In third and fourth and a little bit in seventh and eighth, we weren't as strong. And one of the things I think that happens is the scores vacillate back and forth a little bit each year. So one year we might be a little bit higher, the next year we might be a little bit lower. A lot of times it's just a couple of tenths of a percentage point difference, but it goes back and forth for each year. And when you look at the language arts literacy, there's two areas, writing and reading. In the writing, there are two writing tasks for each grade. It differs from one grade to another, but there are two tasks. In grades 3 and 4, there's two expository writings. In grade 5, there's one speculative and one expository. And in grades 6 through 8, there's one persuasive and one explanatory. In reading, there's an overall reading score, and then it's broken down into two different scores, also working with text and analyzing text. The next slide shows the clusters in language arts literacy. So the top part of it is the writing, and the bottom three rows are the reading. And we knew a couple of years ago that we needed to strengthen our writing program, and last year we did start some intensive professional development in areas of writing. We're continuing that this year. And hopefully by this year we'll see the scores starting to rise a little bit. We're still a lot stronger than the average of the state. And for example, in third grade, the overall writing, Clinton Township had a score of 10.3, and the district faculty had one of 10.9. So it's a matter of 0.6 difference, but we were a little bit lower than the other schools in the district faculty group I. The reading, if you look at the bottom three rows, we're stronger in the reading than we are in the writing, and that's why one of the reasons why we're focusing on writing professional development for the teachers and for the students. This graph shows all students. The difference here is that this shows just general ed students, and the scores are similar, and this shows just special ed students within the grades. I think one of the things with the general ed students, especially in 7th and 8th grade, is there was a little bit of a mix-up last year, which Kevin will talk about, with the special ed students, and some of the special ed students were not coded as special ed. So they're clumped in with the general ed students here, and so that makes a difference in those results. If you look at math, you'd see the same thing. If you look at the scores as you go from year to year, you can follow the same students that go from year to year. And again, I do have a graph that will show you that a little bit later in the presentation that will at least give you an idea of one grade and how they went from year to year. But there is some consistency if you follow the same students, even though that the test is not the same. The fourth grade test is not the same as the fifth grade test is the same as the sixth grade test, etc. But the students tend to remain consistent in their performance on the test. These are our comparisons again to the district factor group. Now in the math, we have a lot more, if you look at the third colored column from the left, there's a lot more green there. That's the advanced proficient column. So we do score higher in math than many of our counterparts in district factor group I in the area of math. Language arts is relatively our weaker subject of the two. We're strong compared to the full state, but it's an area that we feel that we really want to focus our instruction and our growth on. If you look at the column all the way to the left, there isn't as much green there as there was for the language arts literacy, and that shows that we have fewer students there. If you see the red, that means that we have fewer students who scored partially proficient. If you look at the middle column, where the first three rows are red, and then there's a few green, and then the rest of it is all red, that's not bad, because there's more green in the advanced proficient column. If we had more green in the partially proficient column, that wouldn't be as good, but since the green is in the advanced proficient, that means we may have less students scoring proficient because we have more scoring advanced proficient. So that would be the way that you would look at that and read that. Red or purple, and if you look at the purple and the blue going down the left-hand side, that just shows you from one, like, the top purple is third grade, the blue is fourth grade, the next purple is fifth grade, and then sixth grade, so you can see a little bit more easily the breakdown of the grades, too. In mathematics, there's five areas that they test. Numbers and numerical operations, geometry and measurement, patterns and algebra, data analysis, probability and discrete math, and problem solving. If you look at the clusters, and these are in the same order that I just read them out to you, if you look at the clusters, we have strengths and we have relative weaknesses in some places. Now, for example, if you look at fifth grade, where we don't compare as well maybe to the district factor group, let's look at just the first line. In third grade, which is the first purple across the top, we scored 15 and the district factor group scored 14.8. So it was close, but we were a little bit higher. In fourth grade, we scored 14.8 and the district factor group scored 15. So again, we were close, but just a little bit lower. In fifth grade, we scored 11.4 and the district factor group scored 11.5. So it's hard when you go back and forth a tenth of a percent. It's not a big difference, and that's one of the reasons why it waves back and forth from year to year sometimes. This is for all students in the math clusters, the general education students, and we can see where our strengths and weaknesses are. If the block is colored in yellow, that means that we received for exactly the same numbers, exactly the same score as the district factor. And then for special ed students. In eighth grade last year, our students also took, it's called the American Diploma Project, and it's the end of the year, end of the course, Algebra 1 test. Students in the high school mostly have ended some of their courses, algebra, biology, and more will be growing. Instead of having the math part or the science part from the HESPA, they had an end-of-course test. Since our students take algebra in eighth grade, they took the end-of-course test. Last year was the first grade, the first year that our students participated in. If you look at the numbers here, and if you look at, there are four states participating in this consortium that has this American Diploma Project and that gives the end-of-course test in algebra. The four states are Minnesota, New Jersey, Ohio, and Rhode Island. Now, New Jersey makes up the majority of the students in, especially the math. I didn't really look at the biology because that didn't pertain to us. But in the Algebra 1, there's 113,345 students who took the end-of-course algebra test last year. In New Jersey, it was 111,103. So we made up all but about 2,000 of all of the students in all four states because New Jersey required it across the board and the other states didn't. So in Clinton Township, 209 of our students took the end-of-course test last year. Across all students, 28.9% scored a proficient or above. In this test, they have four breakdowns, but you want to get proficient or above. In Clinton Township, compared to that 28.9% across all students, 49 of our eighth graders scored proficient. 49% of our eighth graders scored proficient or above. So that's a pretty strong difference and a pretty strong statement about our students and our teachers for eighth grade math. If you look across the rest of it, it's the breakdown, the cluster breakdown. And on the Algebra 1 test, they have operations on numbers and expressions is one cluster. Linear relationships is another cluster. Nonlinear relationships. And then data statistics and probability. And in all of those areas, our students scored significantly higher than the majority of students who took the test. Most of the other students were in the 30 percentiles, and our students were in the 50 percentiles in most of them, which led to 49%. So if you think about, you know, the implications, in 2009, this test was just a pilot. In 2010, in New Jersey, all students who took Algebra 1 had to take the test. It was Clinton Township District's first year. We did not participate in 2009. Right now, there are no graduation requirements. In 2012, though, the class of 2015 will, and if students are enrolled in Algebra 1 in high school, in 2011, 2012, they will need to pass the Algebra 1 test in order to get the credits for that choice and graduate. If they take algebra in next year, though, this year and next year, as eighth graders, even though they would need the requirement if they took the course in high school, they will take the test in eighth grade. They will not need to pass it for graduation. And it is still possible, if they don't get, if they get a basic score instead of a proficient score, it is possible, based on the high school test, that they can still go into geometry as a freshman in high school. So that year, it won't pertain to our students if they take it in eighth grade, but if they didn't take it until high school, then it would pertain to them. And currently, what the state is saying, this may change, I don't know, but this is the most recent information, is that there are four breakdowns for this test: advanced, proficient, proficient, basic, and below basic. Students scoring proficient or above, they're fine, there's no problems. If they score below basic, then they would need to repeat Algebra 1 content, have a similar course, but they're saying that they don't want to have the children have the same course taught in the same way. If children score basic, not yet proficient, but not below basic, then the high school will have to have targeted interventions for the specific skills in which the students need help, but they would not be required to repeat the Algebra 1 course all over again. They would go on to another course and then specific targets would be built into it. And those are the interventions that the state is talking about right now. If you look at science, you can't really go from year to year. There's colors there that just correspond to the chart that I had earlier so that the grades are the same color. But you can't really go from year to year because students only take science in fourth grade and eighth grade. Also, the science test was not given long enough to get those fourth graders to eighth graders. At the end of this year, we will be able to compare science for kids who took it in fourth grade, and then this spring they would take it in eighth grade, so we could get a better comparison there. But I just included the chart so that there would be the scores for science from 2007 to 2010. If you look at the district factor group, again, the left is the partially proficient, the next column is the proficient, and then the third column is the advanced proficient. We fluctuated a little bit from partially proficient to advanced proficient. And again, this is comparing only fourth graders and eighth graders. In science, there are three different clusters: life science, physical science, and earth science. And then knowledge questions and application questions are dispersed throughout the test, so you'll find them in each area. If you look at the science clusters, in fourth grade, in all of the clusters, we did better than the district factor group. Again, in some areas it was close, so we were a little bit higher. In eighth grade, we were a little bit lower. And again, it was pretty close in a lot of the scores, but we weren't quite as strong as some of our other schools in the district factor group are. This is for all students. This is for general ed students. And this is for special ed students. And it's interesting because science is a very hands-on subject, and special ed kids generally do well in hands-on kinds of learning. The other thing is that the reading and the math isn't as strong here. You do need to read and you do need to math to do math to take the science part of it, but it's not as focused and as strong as in the language arts and the math sections of the test. So if you look at the fourth to eighth grade comparison, I did two things here. I looked at fourth grade and eighth grade. So the purple is fourth graders. The left is partially proficient, the middle is proficient, and the right columns are advanced proficient. And the blue is eighth graders last year, 2010, the same students. So the purple is from 2006, when the children took the language arts literacy test in fourth grade, and the blue is 2010 when they took it as eighth graders. This is for all students. So you can see in fourth grade, we had a strong showing in the proficient area. That purple bar is pretty high. But in eighth grade, it moved to the advanced proficient column, so there's a much stronger bar in the blue than the purple. Now I showed, this is where I said I had a graph to show a little bit. I took last year's eighth grade, because we had the fourth and the eighth grade for the science, and I just put in the other grades. So the blue is partially proficient, the green is proficient, and the yellow is advanced proficient. And starting on the left-hand group of bars, it's 2006 as fourth graders, and then 2007 as fifth graders, 2008 as sixth graders, 2009 as seventh graders, and 2010 as eighth graders. If you notice between the 2007 and 2008, which is the second and third group of bars from the left, in 2007, we had very few partially proficient. In 2008, that number jumped up quite a bit. That was the year that the state changed the test for that grade. So the kids didn't have the same test as they had the year before. The bar was raised, and the test was changed. So I think it's interesting, if you look at that there was a jump up there in partially proficient. Not very many kids got advanced proficient, and there was a good showing for proficient scores. And then if you look, though, on 2009, the partially proficient is starting to drop again, and the advanced proficient, the yellow bar, is starting to go up. So that's good, because kids are a little bit more used to changing the test. And if you look at 2010, then our advanced proficient was much stronger than the partially proficient in language arts literacy. The same thing for math. The purple again is fourth grade in 2006, and the blue is eighth grade in 2010. So there's, you know, a little bit of similarity, a little bit of difference, but it's really interesting that the advanced proficient in 2010 as 2004 are almost exactly the same number. And again, if you look at the every year from 2006 to 2010, again, from 2007, the second group of bars to the third group of bars, that's when the test changed. So there was an increase in partial proficient, but then again, you can see the growth of the advanced proficient as the children are more used to the test as they're going through. And in science, we have 2006 and 2010. That's fourth grade and eighth grade. I can't show you the year by year because they only take science in fourth grade and eighth grade. So with this, six and seven, there was no science test. This just shows that we did meet annual yearly progress. This is Patrick McGarren School, so that would include our third grade, and it says that current AYP did meet it. In Round Valley, there's two breakdowns because there's the middle school, sixth grade is counted as a middle school, and fourth and fifth is counted as an elementary. And we did meet annual yearly progress in both subject areas. And in the middle school, which is seventh and eighth, obviously, we met it also in math and language arts. So that I got straight from the state report to show our annual yearly progress. If we look ahead, the state is changing the standards. All of the new standards have been adopted at this point. In 2011-2012, which is next school year, math for grades K and 2 and science for all grades will need to be revised so that the new curriculum reflecting the new standards is implemented in September of next year. In 2012-13, math in grades 3 to 5 and high school, English language arts, they've changed it now, they don't call it language arts literacy anymore, now it's English language arts, or ELA. Social studies, visual and performing arts, comprehensive health and PE, world language, technology, and an area that they have that says 21st century life and careers, that curriculum needs to be implemented in the new form in the year 2012-2013. And in 2013-2014, the math in grades 6 to 8 needs to be implementing the new curriculum. The reason why they did this is because math is a very linear subject, and to just assume that everything is going to change at once, they were afraid the children would have too many gaps. So they're implementing it piece by piece, so that as the children get the new curriculum in the lower grades, then they'll be ready for the new curriculum as they move up into the higher grades. They felt that high school was different, that didn't have to wait as long because those classes are different, and the children will be ready for them when they get there. The state assessment is going to coordinate with the implementation of the standards. Now, I heard two different things. One says that the new test will not be in place until 2014, so that while we're implementing the new standards for our curriculum for children, we still need to be mindful that we don't let go of things that they'll be tested on from now till 2014 when the new test is available. Until 2014, every year when the new curriculum standards are being implemented, there will be test questions on the new standards, but they're only going to be field test questions. So there are going to be questions embedded into the test so that they can determine which questions are good questions and which questions are not good questions, so they'll be ready for the new test in 2014. The other thing that I did hear about and I heard this just recently, is that in 2014, the entire ask for the entire population of New Jersey will be administered online. It will not be paper and pencil tests anymore. It will all be online. It will be done a little bit differently than it is now, where you won't necessarily have to have the entire grade and the entire school taking it at the same time. They haven't worked out the details, but this, they said, is a given. It will happen. So we need to prepare our kids for that, too, because there is a difference in the skills when you're taking a test online or when you're taking it on paper and pencil. The nice thing about it is that when it's online, the turnaround will be very quick, and within a couple of weeks to a few weeks after the test is taken, you will have the results for all students. You won't have to wait a month or more like we do now. So that's the good side of it. So I think that, you know, if you look at the same student comparisons for fourth grade and eighth grade, the scores are really pretty consistent, with some gains in the advanced proficient range in language, arts, literacy, and science. The specific areas and grades vacillate a little bit from year to year when you compare to the district factor groups. Some years were a little bit higher, some years were a little bit lower, but they remained relatively constant over time, too, that we're not far from them. It's not like they're up here and we've dropped very far. And we're doing a lot of things to work on our scores and to bring them up. We're reviewing all curriculum and analyzing it against the newly adopted standards. We're making sure that we're aligned and effective in what we're teaching. We've initiated and we're developing a success program that stands for Students Understanding Core Content and Exceeding State Standards. This program is at Coos Run and Patrick McGarren School right now, where we're trying to find children who are struggling and help get them prepared and stronger in their foundational skills at the young grades, so as they move up, they can be stronger and continue that growth. We are realigning the science and K-2 math curriculum this year, so we're ready for full implementation next September. And we are reassessing and realigning the social studies in really preparation for drastic revisions. The social studies is an area where we have a large change. They really change those standards a lot. So we're going to have a lot of changes to do there. And we're preparing and moving ourselves in that direction now, so that when that year comes, we don't have to do everything all at once and we're not hit in the face with it. We are reviewing the language arts curriculum. We are ensuring that the writing improves through professional development for the teachers, not only in language arts literacy areas, but across content areas in the different grades. We are reviewing and reevaluating all other curricular areas to make sure that they're aligned also. We have begun talking. part of professional development in the area of writing last year for teachers in grades K through 5 for English Language Arts writing workshop. We have established a consistent writing program in those grades also for children. And this year we'll be training writing the content areas and have some professional development for teachers in not only language arts, but also in other content areas in grades 6 to 8. We're continuing conversations among staff to really look at and analyze children's work in our professional learning communities. We're trying to increase opportunities for articulation within grade and also vertically from grade to grade. And we're initiating professional development in response to intervention. We're planning interventions for kids who are struggling so that we can help improve their learning and improve our program's effectiveness. We are planning professional development this year to improve the effectiveness of our inclusion model. We're continually starting reviews in subjects to ensure retention and reinforce how the brain learns best. And we're including short constructive response items in math and science classes to make sure that the children are just used to the kinds of questions that they're going to get on the ask and used to the kinds of answers that they will be required to give. We are continuing to include activities in formats that are similar to the New Jersey Ask across curriculum areas, again, just to prepare the students not to teach the test, but just so that they're prepared for the kinds of questions that they will be asked. And we're continuing to infuse technology into the curriculum that we're using it to teach and reinforce learning. And we need to prepare our students for being ready to take the whole test online in 2014. The testing dates for this year, it's broken up into only 2 weeks. Grades 3 and 5 are 4 days, and they are May 9th through 12th, with the makeup the following week. Grade 4 is 5 days, and that's because they have 4 days of language arts and math and then an added day of science. And that's the same week, May 9th to 13th. And then grade 6 to 8 is 4 days, and that's the week before, May 3rd to 6th, with the makeup the 9th to 13th. The 8th grade, even though they take the science, they've compacted, they felt that the 8th grade can compact the test and sit for a longer time than the fourth grade, so science is included in those 4 days of testing. Does anyone have any questions?
Mm-hmm. MCLB. Mm-hmm. Are we also talking all grades? Are we at a hangover? Are we going to show you what each year in a row?
We are, this year we have met annual yearly progress.
And perfectly clear.
Right now we are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the challenge is going to be, you know, next year with a cutoff, the bar is raised that,
Bobby, if I could just add, you talked to the other superintendents at Reddington, Flemington, Raritan, and other districts. We have more than all of them, the number of students that took the algebra test, because we have more children that take algebra in eighth grade. Almost all of our children are in an algebra program. Compared to our number, they have maybe one or two classes in their whole, in all of Reddington, all of Flemington, Raritan that actually took tests compared to us, because that's how we prepare our children. And that, I know, translates to their math placements in high school. So.
And I had a meeting with the math people at the States earlier today, and they were really impressed that 49% of our students scored proficiently in
math. So, thank you.
Would it be possible, either Bobby or Kevin, to have this presentation go up on the website so people could, at their leisure, look at it and study the numbers? Because
yes.
This is difficult.
Absolutely. We're going to have to put that up as, you know, we're trying to make amends for the art and theater at the same time. But it will be up there in a PDF for everyone tomorrow morning to look at. We'll put that out as well, Grace, with the Tuesday tidings to let people know it's there.
Maybe we can also have Bobby available at the next meeting so that if anybody looks at the website and has questions, then you can hear your answers.
Check my calendar.
Thank you, Bobby. Any board members have any questions for Mrs. Lee? And that will be available as of tomorrow, all of this information on the district website?
Yes, we have things all on. We'll get that very soon as we focus tomorrow.
I have your copy, Bobby, and I will put your email on there, too.
Okay.